You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back for part two of Andrew White, Tyler Aucke, Tim Leonard with you here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. If you missed part one, we talked all things the basketball tournament with Andrew and everything that he's been going through to get ready for Boeheim's Army's big weekend out in Peoria. So check that out. That's part one of this conversation. Today on the show, it's going to be a lot more in-depth of the X's and O's and everything that went down during his season at Syracuse. Tim, you and I have talked about this a lot. That 2017 season feels like a big what if, and in the era of KenPom, how heavily that's used in the net, I feel like Syracuse would have gotten in with that 2017 team.
The way they were playing in the second half of the year might be better than a lot of those teams that did actually make and went to the Sweet 16 and obviously won Final Four teams. So that's a bold statement, but of all the bubble teams, they were the most fun probably in the regular season in terms of the quality of wins and the way they were playing late.
Resume-wise, maybe the best of the last, what, 5-6 year period for Syracuse. I guess 7 if you want to stretch the season where there was the postseason ban. So it was certainly an interesting team. It was a fun team for sure, but they did not get into the big dance. So we will talk to Andrew about all that. But before we do that, if you're not subscribed to the show yet, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button, Apple, Spotify, the Odyssey app, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And also hit us up on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. We'll be tracking along with you guys for Boeheim's Army this week. So we're excited for that. We're also going to have our series of the most important pass catchers. That's continuing today at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. We'll tell you who most important pass catcher number 2 is on our list. We're counting down each position group every single week. All right, let's get to it. Here's Andrew White. I look at that 2017 team as a huge what if year because you guys were on that bubble and it felt like you were on the right side, given the wins that you had during the regular season. I know there were some tough losses that, especially some traditional losses that Syracuse doesn't have, but what kind of damage do you feel like that team could have done in the tournament?
I feel like for Cuse every year it's getting in because if Cuse gets in, it's almost like a guaranteed run just because the non-traditional style, just, you know, cardiac Cuse is definitely a real thing. So, you know, that's why I was disappointed because, you know, once Cuse gets in, they're as dangerous as a team as there is just given the style. So obviously to be the first one out is disappointing, but hey, we put ourselves in that situation, you know, so it was a learning lesson, but hey, I still had a great experience, you know, in my year there and I'm thankful for it. Stuff like this now, you know, if I hadn't come for that year, I wouldn't be here right now playing with these guys that were from different eras of Syracuse basketball. So, you know, I count my wins, not my losses.
Why do you think Cuse has been able to have so much success in the tournament? I know everyone brings up the 2-3 zone. Is it as simple as that for you and just Coach Boeheim being a big clutch coach when it comes to March?
Yeah, Coach definitely knows this tournament. You know, you have to throw a wrinkle in there that people aren't adjusted to. So above all and everything, you know, obviously the zone is tough to defend, but psychologically, that's what everybody knows. Like, all right, Cuse got in the tournament. Now they're one of the most dangerous teams. So I think opposing teams kind of know that zone. If you haven't seen it, like you're not a conference opponent where you at least see it a time or two a year, it can kind of throw you off guard and you can't really prepare for it until you get in it.
When you look at that team too, and again, you whether or not you were team 68 or not, at the end of the day, you didn't get in, but usually teams with 3 top 10 wins aren't team 68. They're like one of the top 5 seeds or so. Right. What do you feel like went wrong with that team? Because you entered the season as a ranked team.
Right. You know, we had a couple lineup changes. And like you said, in the non-conference, we just didn't have our stuff together. You know, we didn't have that rhythm that we did late in conference play when we got those big wins. So you have to be able to steal some games on the road and you have to be able to do well in your non-conference. Neither of those we did well. So that's a recipe for being left out. And it's so many teams in the mix. You have to do something to get yourself out of the mix in terms of that patch who are kind of at the mercy of the selection committee.
you know, that Duke game, I think that's one of those games that every Syracuse fan remembers where they were when it happened, when John Gillen hit that shot. What do you remember about that final play, and where was sort of your vantage point of John Gillen making that buzzer beater?
Yeah, I was on the left side of the court running straight towards the ball, screaming, hollering, trying to get the ball. And I was being face guarded that whole game. Like, my man almost didn't cross half court to play.
Who's guarding
offense. He was so Barnes. Can't remember his first name, but Barnes, really great defender. That's kind of his MO. So I think I was kind of a decoy that game, and I just remember just standing and moving around and just trying to attract the defense to get the guys around me as much space as possible, so since they were concentrated. So, you know, I'm thankful that John could kind of hold it down for the team on that one. Had a dream game. Obviously, will be remembered forever for that. But yeah, I was on the left side of the court screaming for the ball. And then once he made it, I was just kind of, I wouldn't say in shock, but I just kind of had a delayed response. So it was almost, you know, I was definitely not the most hype guy, but I couldn't even believe it, you know, just, and then the people started flooding the court and all that. So I was just kind of a little bit delayed in my reaction. Like, man, what is going on? You know, but big win. Glad to see, you know, John has something he can hang his hat on for life.
What were the parties like the rest of that week after you hit that big shot, get that big win?
I couldn't tell you. I had some family come in town for that game. So after that game, I was kind of doing the family thing, and I was a grad guy, so I wasn't going out a whole lot in my time here. So other than, like, I'd get over there with, you know, we'd do a little thing at the house where just the whole team would come through. But in terms of, like, the going out and the partying, like, I'm the worst to ask. I don't know what I was doing. The season was like a blur, but I did not catch myself out on the scene too much. I was playing 40 minutes a game. By the time it was over, I had dead legs. It was hard for me to make it back out of the apartment.
Who was maybe a step slow in practice the next day?
What'd you say?
Who was maybe a step slower in practice the next day?
Oh, I can't give anybody up. Man. I can't get anybody up. Hey, guys like to have a good time, man. If they want to identify themselves, they can step forward, but I can't give anybody up.
Well, if good it was teammate right Gillen, there. I don't blame him. So I'm not saying it was, but he deserved it if it was. What about Coach Boeheim after a game like that? You know, we see him. He's so serious. We know he's such a big competitor when the game is going. But what's he say to you guys in the locker room after such an epic moment like that?
Oh, honestly, man, I couldn't even tell you. The whole year was like a blur. The Duke game was like a blur. I can barely remember conversations that Coach and I had. It was just that year went by so fast. Like, I can't really remember games too well. I can't remember after big games. Like, man, I watched the film of some of this stuff, and it seems like it was 20 years ago. Like, I feel like that whole year was like an out-of-body experience. Like, I can't remember any of it, but I do know that Coach is pretty happy about that one. Anytime you can get a reaction out of him like that, it's a pretty good day because he's seen it all.
All right, guys, are you looking for a new car part or a way to repair your car right now? Well, I've got the perfect solution for you. It is rockauto.com. Different from the chain store fronts that are often kind of tireless and meaningless exercises, going to those chain store fronts and then getting turned away at the door because they don't have the specific part you're looking for. Instead, skip that step. Go to rockauto.com today. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online now for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com today, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They always offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. I personally have used rockauto.com several times now. I can speak from experience, been happy each and every time. And when you go to rockauto.com today, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
So you're on this team, and they're bringing back guys from a Final Four run from a season ago, whether it's Lydon, Frank Howard, Roberson, you got a hometown kid in Daewon, you got a really exciting freshman class coming in, headlined by Tyus Battle, and then you're coming in. And so there's all this gravitas and hype around some of those guys, and in comes Andrew White. When did you feel like you were fully embraced by the Orange fans?
That's a good question. I would say right when conference play kind of got going, you know, and I had a big stretch of games. I think that's when people really knew that I was for real. And obviously I had some good games in non-conference, but that ACC play is the most telling. So I really think I would have to guess during conference play is when, you know, I really became somebody that folks really embraced. And, you know, a lot of what I did was just try to tune that out. Like, I love the fans to death, but since I came in on a mission to try to help us win and be my best in that season, that a lot of the fans and being out and kind of taking in the community, I got to admit, I wasn't my best at, just because, you know, I was so locked in on games. Even after games, you know, I spent a lot of time in the treatment room, recovery, putting in extra work. So it's a lot that I'm still learning about. You know, I feel like I was under the radar in terms of just knowing people, you know, being embraced because I was kind of living under a rock, you know. But to be here now and people still remembering games, I'm like, dang, you remember that? Like, people really were watching. Like, that's what I constantly get reminded of day to day.
Yeah, the Syracuse fan base is different in that way, for sure. Right, they're going to remember the little things. But yeah, I want to ask you, so you start at Kansas, you go to Nebraska, then you go to Syracuse. You transfer twice. Now there's this new rule that you wouldn't even have to sit out most guys after they transfer. What do you make of the way college basketball is heading? And you think it's good or bad for the sport that guys have a little bit more flexibility to transfer?
Yeah, it's really hard to keep track of now because I still don't know exactly what the transfer portal means, because you have guys that put their name in the portal but then go back to school, you know, so it's almost like free agency in a sense. So, you know, it's different. But it's working. You know, obviously there's a lot in place, so these guys have a little more freedom. And, you know, anything that sides with the athlete, I'm definitely a fan of. But, yeah, times are definitely different.
All right, real quick. I know you got to run, but last question for you here. You played for Jim Boeheim. You played on the staff with Mike Hopkins. Mike Hopkins is Tim and my pick for who we want as the next Syracuse head coach. Do you have a dog in the fight? Who would be the best man to succeed Jim Boeheim?
Ooh, that would be tough, because in my mind, I just can't picture a day where Coach Boeheim would leave. Like, you know, and I know he hates hearing about it. Like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he'll be in office forever. So as far as a next up, obviously there's a lot of great candidates, a lot of great guys, you know, with Syracuse ties. But as far as I'm concerned, I just can't imagine Coach Boeheim not being in that spot.
Could you see Mike Hopkins coming back?
I think he'd be great. You know, I was a great Coach Hopkins fan. I think he'd be great. But, you know, to pick a successor, that's definitely something that's kind of above my call. You know, that coach hates hearing stuff like that. Even the thought or consideration of him leaving. So, you know, I'll leave that to him. To once his term is finished up, then maybe I can give an opinion. But yeah, I want to be clear on that. I don't even want to be thinking about plans outside of Coach Boeheim. He's been good to me, and I can't imagine him not being in that spot. Coach Hop as well.
We'll take your name off the coaching search committee then. Andrew, appreciate it so much. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck with Boeheim's Army. You guys got a couple games coming up, so we'll be watching. And best of luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
All right. Fun stuff there with Andrew White. He is one of the best, and I mean it when I say it, of all the athletes that I covered at Syracuse. Tim, I don't know if the same can be said for you, but of all the athletes that I covered at Syracuse, the nicest guy, nicest guy, always generous with his time. I mean, he was running out the door, getting ready for a Boeheim's Army practice, and he still made some time for us. So very nice guy, one of the best you'll ever run across. So if you do see him, say hello to him, because he is one of the best. He is just a stand-up guy and a great representation of the Syracuse basketball program. All right, coming up next, we're going to continue to count it down here. Number two, who is it going to be on our list of the most important pass catchers? That is coming up next. Hey, the basketball season has come to a close, but that isn't the end of your hoops betting. Yeah, you heard me right. We've got TBT, and you can bet on it right now on betonline.ag. They've got everything from TBT lines to NBA draft props. That's right around the corner, so the season might be over. Giannis may be holding the trophy, but you can already get a jump start on next season as well with some NBA futures. Do you like the Bucks to repeat? You can go bet on it right now on betonline.ag. They've got you covered with all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. It's not just basketball that you can bet on. Baseball in full swing, of course, and you can get out ahead of everything as well with some NFL, NHL, all that good stuff. So before the next pitch, basket, all that stuff, head on over to betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON. When you use that promo code LOCKEDON, you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Continuing with our most important series of each positional group as we get closer and closer to training camp and the start of the 2021 football season, ACC Media Day taking place this week. We'll dive into some of those comments on tomorrow's show. But we continue with pass catchers to kick everything off in our most important series. And it is on to number two. And it's maybe a guy that a lot of Syracuse fans are not familiar with. He is a class of 2020 recruit. Only appeared in five games last season and only made one catch. He amounted 3 yards on his freshman year billing. But it is Damian Alford. And this is a guy, he has size, he has speed, and he is a big recruiting win from a season ago for this Syracuse team who could break out this year and really, really help out this Orange offense.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for one guy that is maybe the Sean Tucker of this year's offense, the out of the blue, gets thrusted into some big moments,
like
makes some big plays, I think it's him. And I don't think that's a bold take. It feels like he turned some heads in training camp based on some reporting from Stephen Bailey and others. And he's just got the size and the potential to really, really just bust out this season, because we know his ceiling is definitely one of the largest ceilings of any of the Syracuse receivers. Maybe not Taj Harris. And again, this is the most important list. I'm sure many people saw this, but we had Taj number three. We're viewing this more, at least for me, Ty, as if this guy has a good season, what does that mean for Syracuse?
And Syracuse, yes.
Yeah.
You want the guys at the top of our list to have the best seasons, or at least take steps from last year.
And honestly, I think you can make a case. We did our own personal rankings, and then we kind of went off it from there. Mm-hmm. And I had him as the number one guy, and we'll get to number one tomorrow. I think a lot of fans can probably connect the dots on that, but we'll leave it up for grabs, so stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. But you can go either way. My point is, though, that I think he provides more size, more of a red zone threat than really any of the other options. Sans a tight end position for Syracuse, so he just brings another layer that Syracuse has lacked in the passing game the past couple years.
No one gets giddy about an offer sheet like us two, Tim. All right. You want me to just read off some of these offers from a year ago?
Yeah,
well,
remind me.
Let me trigger them for you. First of all, I'm just going to let you guess. Who recruited Damian Alford?
So he's a Canada guy, right? If my memory
serves.
He's
a Canada guy. Yep. Canada moved down to Florida.
Yeah, that's right. And that's been the track record of a lot of Syracuse guys recently. Is it like a ACC school? Like, why is it
no,
a school
oh, no,
that
no,
I
not,
should
I'm
guess?
I'm not talking about coaches. I'm not talking about teams. I'm talking about coaches.
Oh, Nick Monroe recruited him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I was wondering what was taking you so long.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Sorry.
Anyway,
I thought you were talking teams.
I should have clarified a little bit better. That's on me. But here are some of the offers that were on his sheet from a season ago. Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Miami, Oklahoma, Penn State, West Virginia, Virginia, Rutgers. I mean,
even better than
power
I remember.
Fives. just continue to mount up for this guy. He was a top 800 guy in the class. And I look at Alford, and listen, you and I aren't both big rankings guys, but when we look at the offer sheet and you see some of those teams that are recruiting him, like Florida, Dan Mullen, always putting together a really good team. Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, always putting together good teams. Georgia, boom, always putting together good teams. And then some traditional powers like Florida State and Miami, both of which were in-state technically for him at the time. These are the guys you want on your roster. And when you see 6'5", 210, those guys don't come around very often. And to have someone like that on the outside opposite Taj Harris, that could be absolutely critical for how this team gets to the next level offensively.
Well, not only that, if he's good this year, we've talked about this when we talked about Taj, it gives you the option, in my opinion, to then consider Taj Harris in the inside and in the slot position. And if you can have that option, then you're looking at maybe playing three very solid ACC wide receivers at once, assuming that Damian Alford plays to the capabilities that we think. Now, we're asking for a big leap. It could not happen. But if you're circling a guy to break out this year, he fits the bill. He definitely had the offer sheet, even when you watch his tape. I mean, his tape was exceptional. I remember being blown away by him and really liking him after watching just his highlight reel. So he's got so much in there. We've heard it's been good in the training camp so far. We've heard kind of rumblings that, I think it was Jihad Carter mentioned, yeah, there's this one guy that's really stepped up as a wide receiver. And Dino talked about how Jihad came to him and he was like, yeah, no, I'm with you on that guy. But Dino hasn't really let out who it is. And gosh, I hope it's Alford, because he has the touchdown making, red zone making potential that we've really lacked. And we just haven't been good in the red zone for a while. So if you can add a 6'5 guy that has a bigger catch radius, just gives them another layer, because I'm confident in Quealy and Taj Harris, but he adds another dimension at 6'5".
When you think about it, and you bring up the red zone targets, okay? 6'5", 210. You remember the dimensions on Jamal Custis? 6'5", 215. So yep. Very similar build. And I think Custis probably a little bit faster. He was one of those guys who I think once upon a time was clocked at like a touch over 4.3 for his 40, which for 6'5", 215, that's freakish stuff. But he was such a weapon in the red zone. I just think about, and even not in the red zone too, even on just standard routes too. I remember that first game against Western Michigan, and you see him break out that way and some of the freak catches that he made. If you can get Damian Alford, because it feels like with these Syracuse receivers, sometimes you only get one good season out of them. Like, remember Amba. Obviously, that's a little bit of a different situation because of grad transfer.
Yeah.
But it was just one season. Ish, you got the one really good season. Remember, the year before, Steve Ishmael was not that great. Jamal Custis, it was a process getting him to come along. And then finally, that senior season, he puts it together, has a really good season. So you're just hoping that, okay, maybe the process is expedited a little bit now. When you look at a guy like Taj Harris, who's put together some consistent seasons. Now, hopefully, Alford's next.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have the opportunity, right? It hasn't been the case in the past, partially because I guess Taj Harris had the opportunity, but that was just a great offensive season as a whole, so they could go deeper into the roster and they were just scoring more and more passes to be had. But in general, like, most guys have had to wait their turn, and then it's been like, okay, this is going to be the Ish year, this is going to be the Custis year. If Alford pops this year as a freshman, because remember, everyone gets the eligibility back from last year, then we're getting maybe two more years of a really good Damian Alford. And we're probably asking for him to pop a little bit earlier than you would want. I mean, it would be ahead of schedule, but
the door's open.
Yeah, the door's open. And there was times last year where I was thinking, why aren't we seeing him more? Like, the receivers aren't getting it done. And
yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Potential. Yeah.
When you think about it, I'm almost surprised, and maybe I should be a little bit more worried, and both of us should be a little bit more worried about how far along he was last year. Now, there is a fantastic and super acceptable built-in excuse because of the pandemic year and the training and just getting your body ready for this level of play, but almost a little surprised he only had one catch last year. Given the receiver production, given the fact that Taj Harris had to sit out a game, given some of the other injuries sustained, I'm a little shocked that we didn't see a guy like Damian Alford in a few more contests. I mean, I think back, and I think that one catch came against Wake Forest, but In the Jacobian Morgan series against Wake Forest, I'm almost surprised there wasn't a lot more Damian Alford, especially when that team was getting blown out a fair amount too during the season.
Yeah, so you can make a case we're talking too highly about a guy that's, I mean, he's only had one catch. You said it. Last year, he didn't do anything. So we're hyping him up, but if you are laying out the, this is how Syracuse goes 6-6 this year. This
gets
is how Syracuse, gets to a bowl game. I really think Damian Alford's a big piece of that puzzle.
I'm right there with you.
It's one position. It's wide receiver. I know there's other, like quarterback, it starts with that. It probably starts with offensive line, then quarterback, and you can get into secondary. There's a lot of valuable things that have to go Syracuse's way that we're going to continue to talk about on this series. But if you are looking for the offense to improve from last year, they needed another weapon to support Taj Harris and not make it so that Taj Harris is on an island every game, or he's being watched and being able, the opponent can hound him every game. They need another guy to step up. Maybe it's Quealy, but if it's Alford, I think that just raises their ceiling as an offense.
Yeah, I think you know a little bit more of what you're getting with Quealy. Alford's a big wild card this season, and if it's played right, you could be looking at one of those offenses. I'm not going to go as far as to say that it's back to the 2018 Eric Dungy senior season level, but you're taking a step in the right direction. If the offensive line is better and you can establish a third weapon, I think that's your guy. And he's got the tools. He's got the unteachables.
Yep. I don't think I like Anthony Quealy, but I just don't see him having that Amba type year at Syracuse. I don't think
he needs to.
Yeah, he doesn't need to. No, you're right. So all I'm saying is Alford, it's not going to happen this year. I'm not saying he's going to go crazy this year because it's Taj's team at the wide receiver position, but I just love the idea about Taj playing the slot. And if you get a lot from Alford, he's an outside guy. At least he gives you the option to sprinkle it in a couple games, mix up your offense a little bit.
Right. And we've gone through the stats with Taj in the slot. I mean, two of his three best games of the season were his highest percentage of snaps taken in the slot. So I'm excited for Damian Alford. And hey, if he can put together a season that's kind of similar to what Taj Harris had in his freshman season, about 40 catches, 550 yards. Now, I believe both of those are freshman records for Syracuse, but you don't have to get quite there. But hey, if you get 30 catches or 35 catches somewhere in that neighborhood, and then maybe like 450 to 500 yards, but you might see those touchdown numbers be at like 5 or 6 because he is such a red zone presence, then you're looking at a real weapon. And then you're looking at a really different team heading into next year.
When the depth chart comes out, if it ever comes out, I'm very curious to see where Damian Alford is. Because if he is the guy that was really turning heads and making Jihad Carter say that, then that's a big, big sign for Syracuse.
No doubt. All right. That's it for today's episode of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. I know we came at you a little bit later than usual. We'll be back on a normal schedule tomorrow on the show because we're going to be talking all things Boeheim's Army. That first game is up this weekend, so we're going to preview that with you. Also, there's some betting lines for that too. Believe it or not, Tim, our friends at betonline.ag have a line for you. So we will go over all of that, and we will give you number one on our most important pass catcher series. We're going to wrap it up for you and run down the five this week and maybe sprinkle in some extra nuggets as well. And also talk about ACC Media Day because Dino and company spoke over yesterday, actually. So we will have all that for you tomorrow on the show. So for Tim, I'm Tyler. We will talk to you guys Friday morning.